There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday Eve edition of the show, Thursday style. Glad to have you along on the phones and the text line at 343-0106, 343-0106 for a call or a text, same numbers. And reminder, too, if you have the FM Talk 106.5 app, an additional way to get in touch, there on the front page of the app, you'll see that microphone icon. If you'll press that, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on the show. So send those on as well. Good to see this man in studio, and we continue with our Veterans Month interviews, and this is a double layer here because we have a man who served his country and continues to serve veterans in his capacity now in the judicial system. This interview brought to you by Onsite Auto Solutions, Auto Body Solutions, and all month long, reminder, we're doing these interviews. Actually, I got started in October with them, but you know, for the last 8-9 years, all month long in November, we interview veterans. So if you have somebody in your family, it's you, a friend, that you want to get their story told, local veterans, you can always send an email, Sean, S-E-A-N, to fmtalk1065.com. Get with me that way, and we can get those interviews set up. A ton coming here in the next 3 or 4 weeks, so be ready for those. And good to see this man in studio, 13th Judicial Circuit of Alabama, Mobile County, specifically the Honorable Michael P. Windham, joining me in studio. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Sean. I'm honored to be here.
And I said two levels because I want to talk about Veterans Court, one of these, you know, what we're doing here in Mobile County, because I've talked about Drug Court, but there's also Veterans Court. But I want to thank you for your service to our country. You were in the Army.
Yes, sir. Back in the day.
Back in the day. How far back in the day?
I was in the Army from 1975 to 1979. I was 11 Bravo, so I was served in infantry.
Now, I ask this of every veteran. I've talked about this. Everybody from the interviews I was so lucky to have gotten with World War II veterans on this show over the last 15, 16 years, I've talked to guys that just got returned home. I ask them all the same questions, so you're going to get it too. Your enlistment story, your decision to enlist, how'd that happen?
Well, mine was not, you have the folks who were, you know, saw 9/11 and enlisted. I was working construction, and so I was kind of mad because I couldn't get a raise. I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to join the Army. You know, give me a raise. And I said, well, go join. And so I went, and I talked to the recruiter, and he had, I think I had different jobs. I think one I was going to, can I be a court reporter? You know, that's filled up, but we got the infantry. The infantry's available, and there's a really good bonus if you do it. And they kept coming back, and eventually that's what I did. I went in. I was at Fort Jackson.
Okay.
Where I went to basic, and then I went to Leesville, what it was at, Fort Polk for AIT, Advanced Infantry Training. And then I was stationed at Fort Benning the whole 4 years.
You're in Georgia before?
There.
Okay.
Right. I guess they don't call it that now, but whatever. That's what I call
the new,
it.
The new name for it. But in that time, because I think about this when I'm around y'all and veterans, and this is what I think is important about Veterans Court, y'all speak a language. But it sounds like English, but y'all speak a language that's different from civilians, people that have not been in the military.
Sure. And it's so great to hear those, you know, you get away from it, you get out, and you go about education, doing other things. And it's so great to hear those terms and those military lingo when you're talking to other folks who have been in the service. We recognize each other. We know it. We've been through the same thing. We've been through basic training and all that. So it's great.
I mean, I see it as important. I mean, because I watch this, whether it's interactions from NGOs out there that are serving veterans, to have veterans staffing it. To in this situation, you're somebody, when you got out, you went to college, went to law school, you're a judge now, but you still speak the language, and that's important.
You always remember, you have the people parade rest, you always hear these terms, you go, God, I remember that. I remember that, being out in the boonies and or whatever.
And it's so it's obviously a great thing. I mean, you have a lot on your docket, but specifically Veterans Corps. Talk about the genesis of this, when this started, and why this started.
Sure, it's interesting. I became a circuit court judge, and I do want to thank the citizens of Mobile County for electing.
Yeah, you just saw your name
a couple of days ago.
Yeah, I just saw your name on Tuesday. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's good to run unopposed.
Yes.
So I'm thankful for that, but. This Veterans Court started in 2008. There was a judge in Buffalo, New York, named Russell, and he had a drug court and a mental health court. But he noticed that the veterans that were in those programs were different, and he started to look at that, and they would hang together, the veterans, and it seemed like. You know, they come back from military service. Some of them have a difficult time adjusting to civilian life, mental health issues, especially with wars and everything else that we've got going on over the past two decades. They've got PTSD, mental health issues, and they really didn't need to be a part of the drug court. So he said, how can we come up with a program that will help those veterans get the treatment they need and give them the benefits that they fought so hard to get. So that's how it started in 2008. And we've now going to Mobile, when I took this position, I didn't really know much about treatment courts or any of that. I had the judges in Mobile County, we handle all the civil, the circuit judges handle all the civil and criminal jury trials. So I was a civil lawyer before, so I kind of have learned the criminal side. But this idea is it's an alternative treatment plan. It's like, is there a way to handle people where they don't have to go to jail if we can do it? That helps everybody, and that's kind of where drug court started. And mental health court. I know you know that we've just started a mental health court in Mobile. But the Veterans Court was, we started talking about if we could have one. And they have a really great Veterans Court in Baldwin County. Judge Michelle Thomason runs it. And that's kind of the gold standard. It's what I pattern my court after. But we had our Veterans Court was tied to drug court before and just wasn't working. I think they only had one veteran in there. So
really, okay.
So we separated them because the veterans have different needs, different concerns than people in drug court, and they didn't really want to be associated. Like, I'm not a drug addict; something else. So that's kind of how it started.
You know, in seeing these courts, like you mentioned, drug court, and having this path, like, okay, and I want to give me an example a little bit of what might be a situation where somebody comes in front of you in Veterans Court, but in the drug court saying, okay, here are these things, but we realize just sentencing is maybe not the best thing. The plan is to get you off drugs, the person in the drug court. Here are some options. I think about in Veterans Court, those options have got to be ramped up because of VA or I wish there were more, but there are places out there waiting to help our veterans, right?
Right.
And maybe that thing that has them in front of you, Judge, is the time that they can turn that corner and try to get some help.
I think so. Right.
Okay. I mean, it's that singular moment that has them in front of a judge, but that also, if that didn't happen, they might not have sought out these options.
Sure. They're just, you know, they find criminal charges. They find themselves with criminal charges. And so we have this program is to try to treat them, keep them out of jail, get them back to what they were when they were in the military, mm-hmm. you know, their service to the community, what their life was before. And so that's kind of how we started it.
Well, okay, for an example, this is a random, not a specific person, but give me an example, an amalgamation of a veteran that comes in front of you, a charge, and then how that proceeds from there.
Sure. Well, what happens is, one of the things I really want to thank you for having me on the show is getting the word out about the court, that this mm-hmm. program's even available, because a lot of people didn't know it.
Right, until y'all reached out too. I mean, I was not fully aware of it until just a couple months ago. Yeah.
Sure. And so the process is, and so that's what we have largely done to try to get the word out to the community. And so the process is, if somebody, the way we're set up now, is we want to identify veterans that are in the criminal justice system.
Okay.
Some veterans don't want to identify as being in military service for some reason. So we've got it set up now that anyone who's arrested in Mobile County that's a veteran, they will come before my court and we'll introduce them to them. This is a totally volunteer program. They don't have to do it. And I think in the past there was some thought that, you know, this it might be a trap. Maybe the mm-hmm. defense lawyer said, I think I can get a better deal for my client than that. But I think they're probably missing the bigger picture, and there wasn't all that much support for this program. So everybody's on board now. We've got the city, the county. You probably know this by doing these interviews. We have an amazing veterans community in Mobile.
It's
something.
Huge. Yeah, it's something. I mean, our state, I always talk about the stat, 378,000 veterans in Alabama. If you look at our area, Northwest Florida, Southeast Mississippi, Southwest Alabama, big. It's a big community.
And they're so tight. They're so close. Mm-hmm. So if someone has a charge and, you know, there's a qualification process. So if someone's interested in veterans court, we look at the charges. Now, not all charges are going to work. Class A felonies are not going to be accepted in veterans court.
Okay.
We have, you know, the district attorney is involved in this, and they have to, at the end of the day, probably approve of who comes into the court. I think everybody agrees, though.
Yeah, well, Class A felony, tell me just a example of a kind of charge that would have somebody, a veteran, in your court.
Well, a lot of times it's domestic violence.
Okay.
It may be a drug charge.
Okay.
A receiving stolen property, theft, okay. those sort of things. The lower level crimes, like some felonies, Class Bs. But we want to take, my thought is, anyone that's a veteran, I want them to apply for the program to see if they're qualified. They may not, but we want to help everybody. And even those who may not be honorably discharged, too, if there may be benefits that they can get from the VA.
Well, okay, and when we come back for the break, I want to talk about that, because now we got that person in my mind who's in front of you, Judge Windsor, but then what? How do you direct? How would it be different from being in another courtroom? So you can help me with that when we come back and get your questions as well at 343-0106. And be right back. More of our interview with Judge Michael Windsor.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:23, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along and great to continue our conversation. Judge Michael Windsor, a veteran, a soldier in the Army, continues, like, this isn't a surprise either, continues to serve veterans as the 13th Judicial Circuit Court judge and the judge over Veterans Court. I noticed that, too. The people that really step up and are helping veterans, it's other veterans helping veterans. So you fit that mold, Judge.
Well, thank you, Sean. And that's, you know, my thought was we wanted to have a veterans court kind of run by veterans, and that's what that's sort of what we've got. I'm a veteran. I'm the judge. The prosecutor, Stuart Lang, with the DA's office. We have an assistant district attorney. He's a veteran.
Okay, I didn't know that.
So war veteran, great guy. I think he was Army.
Okay.
And we have a defense counsel. The public defender has a representative there to represent all the participants there. And we've had veterans in that role too.
Perfect. So, because now everybody in that courtroom
speaks
the same language.
Sure.
You gave me this the idea of cases that bring people in front of you in the court. The second part of this is how is this different than another court? What direction, what other things are there in a veterans court that wouldn't be in a normal courtroom?
Sure. It's a totally different environment. And the thing is that I love it because it's different than what I do in normal criminal cases or normal civil cases.
And different how? Is it the options given to you? Is it what you choose to do?
It's the way it's organized and set up. So someone who's interested in the program, they would apply. We have staff meetings, and at some point we vet the participants or the applicants to see if they qualify. And if they do, then they're evaluated to see how can we help them? What needs do they have?
Mm-hmm.
What's the risk? What risk do they need? Are they high risk, high need? That's typically what you want in your program because you want them to be successful for whatever treatment. So if they get evaluated, and that's the thing that makes us work is we've got the VA, we've got the big VA. That's one good thing, and we have a veterans justice outreach person from the VA. She goes to the jail every week and meets with veterans. Finds out who's there.
That's what I was wondering, Judge. Is it that the veteran has to know that this court is available and has to make an application, or if they don't, if they're ignorant to it, how are you reaching out? Are you saying, okay, we got these veterans here, let's go talk to them? Or
and that's right, we are reaching out.
Okay.
We want them to know about it.
Okay,
and
they don't have to just know about it and apply. Okay.
We have great support from our other judges. All the other judges know about the court, and we work together, like for the drug court and the mental health court, people that may go to those courts. You know, we help the transition. If there's somebody on my docket, I will send them to another judge's docket if it's drug court or mental health court. And just by likewise, they would send me people who are veterans that are interested in the program.
We
get it out to the bar, to the lawyers. They all know.
And they can see this and go, maybe this is a case we need to get to Judge Windham's court. So that that liaison from the VA is going to the jail.
Right.
And doing what? Saying, hey, do you know this stuff is available? Or what's that outright?
Well,
how's that look?
She's meeting with them in general
about
their benefits and what they have and how they can navigate the criminal justice system. And she's telling them about our court, too. And so we meet. We have a great – it's really a team is what's awesome about Veterans Court. We've got a great team. We've got a lady with the VA. The Vet Center is a really good – it's a part of the VA, too, mm-hmm. that I didn't even know about. But they do all the evaluations for us, for Veterans Court, to see if these people qualify. And then they set up a treatment plan for them.
Okay, because that was the second part of this. We got about 2 minutes here. We'll go to the news and come back. But in your team, you identify this person. They come to court. At that point, have y'all already kind of figured out what may be the treatment options? I mean, do you already have the ideas in your head, or do you see them and then do it?
Well, we meet every other Friday. That's when we have court at 1:30. It's in my court, courtroom 6400. Would love to have anyone come by and see what we do. And so we have staffing about 11:30. We talk about everybody in the program, everybody who's going through the evaluation process. And once they get to that point, we accept them into the program. Then they start the Veterans Court program, which is a 14-month, five-phase program, and they progress through that.
Okay, so this one I'm going to pick up with when we come back for the news is how that works, and get this person, this generic veteran that's come into your court, you know, what's laid out for them. And, you know, I do want to talk about, I'm an outcome-based person, right? So the success here in this program, how this is working. And a reminder, too, if you have somebody, if you're that person or you know somebody who's a veteran in this situation, this is something to inquire about, and we'll talk more about that when we return as well, how you get in touch with the team with the Veterans Court. All right, 1229 News is coming up next.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, 1235 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along, and we continue our interviews all month long. And like I said, I got them started a little bit earlier in October for Veterans Month. Of course, coming up Monday, Veterans Day, the normal will be there. That means Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton will be set up doing their show live from along the parade route. It's moved a little bit the way the lineup is on Canal versus how we kind of lined up in the parking lot before. But we'll be there, and of course, encouraging everybody to get on the streets and be there to watch the Veterans Day Parade. I think it's, I heard a conversation between my buddy Tom Claxton and Lou Lartigue yesterday, and it sounds like it's big enough that they're worried about the snake eating its tail, Judge. Like, that it's going to be coming back in before the last of it leaves. That makes me proud to know the parade's that big.
It's great. Yeah, it's a great parade.
Yeah, it is good stuff. So, y'all, yeah, take a little time, go down there mid-morning, watch the parade. And reminder, too, flag raising at Battleship Memorial Park at let me get it right for Veterans Day. 0700 will be the flag raising down there, and then activities throughout the day. All right, continue our conversation with Judge Windham over Veterans Court. And, yeah, in this direction, you get that person in. You talked about there's a program built in if they agreed to do it. What is that program? Walk me through that.
Well, what we do is if someone's accepted in the program, and right now we've got about 12 people that are going through the program, various stages. And so they have to, one of the requirements is you have to be drug and alcohol free, you know, all the way through. So we test twice a week. It's not an easy program.
So they got to come in and get tested.
Well, they've got to go, they got to get tested, not at the court, but at a drug facility.
Twice a week,
okay, to start with. Because that's the thing. You've got to be clean.
Yeah.
And a lot of these people have substance abuse issues,
sure,
somewhere down the line that led to these charges. And that's the other thing. We like to typically, the charges or the underlying problem is related to their service, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's
why they're
great
a Veterans Court.
That's,
yeah,
one of the reasons we help them. So they will have a treatment plan. So they will come before me, and we'll call the docket. It's just like any other court. So we'll call the docket. They'll come up. They have a book. They've recorded every treatment place they've been to for the last 2 weeks. They've been signed. I review that. Talk to the veterans about what's been going on the last 2 weeks. We look at their drug testing, and then there's incentives and there's sanctions, right?
Okay.
And so we want to encourage the good behavior, all right? But if someone tests positive or has a step backwards, then there are sanctions, and we may have community service or something like that. But I'm so impressed with how everybody in the program is doing right now. They're doing great. Our court started a little over a year ago. We went through the proper training with a national program, Justice for Vets. We sort of revamped, as I was saying earlier. And everybody was there that's in the program now, as far as the team. They
right.
went through the training. They
okay.
came to Mobile and they were there for 3 days. We went through it and showed us how to do it right. So I'm really proud of that. And I think we started our program in August of 2023. So this past August, we celebrated our one-year anniversary. So it's going. So that's the process. And so the first phase is 60 days.
Okay.
They go through that. Then they go to the next phase. And they have requirements, like they have to write essays maybe about why are you in this court? What do you think about the court so far, and how is it helping you? And then we go to they progress through the different phases of the court, and I think we are planning to probably have our first graduation in after the first of the year. So I'm really, really excited about that. Maybe you have to come down and watch it.
It would be good. I mean, talking about the incentive side. So I'm going to say the way I'm guessing here, Judge, the biggest incentive is whatever charge they came in front of you on.
Sure.
They're trying to do something to not have to go
right
serve time for that or whatever. Am I correct? Or?
Right. And that's I guess, at the end of the day, if they are successful in completing the program, what they do now in the front end, they plead into the program. It's like a blind plea.
Okay.
So you would plead a blind plea into entering.
Okay.
In other words, they plead guilty, but they don't know this. But I don't adjudicate them.
Okay.
So
okay.
The sentence, we don't know. And if they fail out of the program or something happened like that, then I would sentence them at that point. The case becomes my case, even if it's on another judge's docket, once they enter veterans court, once
okay.
they're coming in, since I'm doing that. So they
do this, and they blind plead, they're in, but the
right.
but the incentive is at the
at
end
the
of
end
it.
At the end of the day, their charges are nolprost.
Okay.
On graduation. So they'll be nolprost. And I'm looking forward to it. We're trying to kind of put all that together. But we'll probably, wait.
That's a good incentive.
May wait. Oh, it's a good incentive, but really it's kind of, to me, the best incentive is to see these people change, their lives
sure,
change.
Sure, but maybe on day one, Judge, that's not what they're seeing. I'm just trying to
right.
see this through my eyes. It'd be like, listen, my incentive is I'm getting nolprost on these charges.
Right.
Then you've got them in this program, and you get to change behavior in the meantime.
Sure. And that's what the program does. They get clean and sober. They get the therapy they need to help with their mental health issues or whatever it is. And so that's kind of the process on it.
It's been interesting to hear this from judicial branch folks and friends of mine in law enforcement too. Because I'll have people go, why are these things going on? Why are they, we talked about with drug court and this and that, why are they making these exceptions? And if you just look back at the stats, because if you don't, you see the same people coming in for the same things
right,
over
right.
and over again.
That's what we're trying to do is reduce recidivism,
mm-hmm.
people reoffending. And the statistics on, say, someone coming into a regular criminal court, mm-hmm. They are more than likely, you may have a 50 or 40% success rate on people who are sentenced or plead guilty. They're going to come back. And the interesting thing about what we do is
more than half of them are going to come
yeah,
back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And once you're on my docket,
mm-hmm.
you're my person for the rest of your life. So
okay.
I know, and the worst thing you want to do is
come
where
back.
I know your name,
yeah.
where I remember, I remember so-and-so.
Right.
Why are you back here again?
So give me something to compare. So with these courts, this is fairly fresh here in Mobile County, but like you said, Baldwin County and around the country, what kind of recidivism, what change in rate can we expect?
It's amazing. And I know drug court has success rate too, but the veterans court is probably like is 90% effective.
Wow.
It's really amazing. You're going to have out of 10
from
people.
From 40% in regular criminal court to 90% going
right.
to veterans court.
And I'll tell you why.
Those are the kind of numbers you get my attention.
I think there's like three reasons. One thing, you got the VA. You got the big VA there to help. The other thing is we know the population. We know the participants. We
mm-hmm.
know veterans and how to take care of them. And one thing I haven't talked about that really makes a difference, I think it's like the secret recipe, is we have mentors for veterans court. And these mentors are – and the other thing is everybody in this court is volunteering their time. Nobody's getting paid to do this,
mm-hmm.
which is really it's awesome. But we have these mentors, and they're veterans in
mm-hmm.
Mobile County, and you probably know half of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they volunteer their time, and they come to court, and they are assigned to a veteran. And so the mentor's there to, be a shoulder to lean
mm-hmm.
on. they're a veteran.
And shoulder that speaks the same language as the other veteran.
And they know what the person's been through, and they may have gone through the same thing at some point in the past. And we've
That's powerful.
It is, and we've got I've gotten so lucky. I think God blessed me when I started getting out to the community and tell them about the court, went to the South Alabama Veterans Council. You know, you talked about Lou Lartigue and that group, and they're just awesome. But the first people I met were Rick and Beverly Moretz, and they're big time there. But they're my mentor coordinators, so they coordinate all the mentors we have. And if someone out there is a veteran that wants to maybe be a mentor for our court, they certainly could let everybody knows Rick Moretz, I know, and Beverly, let them know, let Lou know. And then
they can put them through to you.
They can put us. They can contact the court and apply, and we'll see. You know.
Well, I'm going to be surprised if it's not a whole bunch of people, because watching veterans. I mean, I ask it of my friends. I'm like, y'all are home now. You're fit. And they're like, but they're not. The mission is they keep giving back to veterans, which is a beautiful thing.
It is, and we've got so many great groups. You know, Eli Crawford is with the Foreign Legion Post. He runs that post. I didn't even know. He's our mentor. And I found out he runs that post after going to Dolphin Island. We've got Larry Vail. He runs a peer support group that I didn't even know about. He's one of our mentors. So these people have been there, and they're staying. They're great. And so they're assigned a veteran when they come in the program. And any issue, they call them, they talk to them. Now, they're separate from the court. They're not involved in the treatment. They're just there to support and help the veteran.
Once they enter your program here, here are the things you got to do, and by the way, here's your mentor.
Right. But the mentor is, there's a wall between, you know, the treatment and what the mentor does,
right,
as it should be.
They can trust, they can call them and say things, not being reported back.
And the mentors aren't coming back to me and said, hey, so-and-so did this wrong.
No, that's important.
Right. But that's what makes veteran courts work, because other courts may have some peer support, but not like this. Not people who know exactly what's going
on. Not veterans.
Right.
For sure. Coming right back, more of our discussion about Veterans Court with Judge Windham right here on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, so welcome back, Midday Mobile, and continuing our conversation about Veterans Court with Judge Michael Windham, who served in the U.S. Army and continues to serve our veterans in the court. I want to ask you, first of all, I want to go back to something you and I talked about at the break, and maybe these things I want to repeat because they mean something to me. I'm an outcome-based kind of person. I look at things, I go, what works? Let's do more of that. And we're looking at a general criminal recidivism rate, about 60% coming through a court. In your veterans court, it's 10%?
Yes, sir.
You got me. You win. You win.
I know. This isn't just Mobile County. These are national statistics, okay? So it's a very effective program. And I'm really – and because we really have such a great, passionate team, because they're all, like you tell, like veterans, helping veterans.
And y'all think about that. The efficacy is fantastic.
Sure.
How's the court funded, specifically, I guess, Veterans Court? How's that funded through the system? Who funds that? Where does the money come from?
You know, it's interesting. I never thought I'd be a grant writer or anything in this in this position, and don't ascribe to me. But there are treatment courts throughout the state, and, you know, probably more, I think – It is interesting. The very first drug treatment court was in Mobile County. I don't know if you knew that. Judge McMakin, Mike McMakin, started it.
Okay. I did not know
way
that.
Way back when he was on the bench. So
I did not know that.
So we owe a debt to him for sure. But they're funded through the Administrative Office of Courts. So they get so much funding from the legislature.
Okay.
You can always write to your state and House members and tell them we need more funding for these
absolutely.
For the treatment courts.
Yes.
And certainly for Veterans Treatment Court. And I think there's pushes to do that. So there's so much money, and there's a grant that are given to all the veterans, all the treatment courts, and they kind of divide it up, whatever it is. And it's typically about $30,000. So it's not much money.
Mm-hmm.
I use, as a circuit court judge, I'm allowed at it. Like a civil clerk, a court attendant person, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I can't use that because what I do is I use that person as my Veterans Court coordinator. So that's all she does. So I'm using that money,
right,
or whatever
to be specific.
That. So
okay.
We want to get funding for that. But so we get funding from that. I tell you what's really great is the support of the local veterans groups. One of the first checks we got was from SAVAC, and I'll never forget it because it means more when you're getting it from the veterans in the community.
And you gave them the acronym, but that is
South Alabama Veterans Council.
This group we've talked about, right. Like people you'll see present at the Veterans Day Parade on Monday.
Well, the best acronym is the Dauphin Island Veterans Association, otherwise known as DIVA.
I love it.
That's great.
A bunch of divas. But so they are not only, I mean, they're putting their money and their time as mentors
sure.
with this court.
Right. And there's also federal grants you apply for and the things like that. And I think going forward, we're going to try to get grant writers because we want to get funding as much as we can to help. We're just what we're trying to do, and I'm glad you mentioned that, is to make it cost-free for the veterans. That was one of the problems with Veterans Court before. It was costing so much money to do drug testing
mm-hmm.
and to attend the court. Now it doesn't cost anything to be in the court as far as less than monthly fee, and we've got a really great deal as far as drug testing. They pay a flat set amount per month, and it's all the testing they get. So it's really good. So we're I'm proud of that.
So beyond this, you know, the structure coming through the state, you're saying you're talking about South Alabama Veterans Council and others in DIVA and giving money. What about, like, if they're not a group, individual citizens, can they give to this program, or is that allowed?
I mean, we're certainly
are y'all set up for
this,
that?
Like this court is a nonprofit. It's
right.
a 501c3.
Okay, so there's a specific.
That we established. And if somebody wants to contribute to the court, we're more than happy to have it, you know. But
I mean, if y'all are getting you're doing something right. If 90% success rate, you know, compare that to the general criminal court system, we need more of that. I want to encourage
sure,
that.
Sure. And it's so rewarding because we got a letter. People are telling us how they're doing in the program. Someone is entering into almost the last stage. It's like he said, you know, this court has saved my life, and that's really all I need to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. So people can go, I mean, just look up the 501c3 or contact.
Well, they can just contact our office.
Okay.
I can tell you the number. It's our coordinator's number is 251-574-8477.
He did that off the top of his head. Here's what we'll do, too. Judge, I always say this when people, because so many people are riding down the road listening to us, you'll leave that number with me, and y'all can text me later, email, and I'll get you that contact info, because so many times we give numbers, and somebody's like, yeah, and I was driving
sure.
down the road.
And I'd love to have anyone come by and watch what we do, because it's really like a great, almost like a great therapy session that we have in court.
And you said 1:30
non-adversarial,
on Fridays?
Non-adversarial every other Friday. Our next court is November 15th. So,
okay.
So it'll be, you know, that's the next court docket, and it goes for about an hour, hour and a half. And we take the participants, we take the people that are going through the process and talk about how they're doing. Everyone's required to come to court. And the great thing about veterans is they don't leave early. You know, if you finish mm-hmm. your case, you get out of there,
they
typically.
Stay.
They stay. Everybody stays for each other.
You know, I wonder if you see a point, Judge, where those graduates from the program will become the mentors of the future.
That's I would love that. There's some people I would like to do that, and I think that some of them may be parading in the parade.
That's fantastic.
You know, the Vet Center has a float,
mm-hmm.
and in the parade. So
double salute them on Monday. That'll be fantastic. Judge Windham, thank you for coming in and explaining this to me, because this is something that is being successful here. It's helping our veterans, and it's going on right here at home. I appreciate your efforts, and like you said, the big team you have working with you.
Right. And the whole community is what makes it work. The city, the county, the sheriff, Paul Birch is behind it, the police department. The district attorney is a big supporter of this, Keith.
Good.
And we just couldn't do it without the public defenders and everybody else.
So, I'm glad y'all are doing it. And knowing the people you just talked about and the people on your team, I know it's in good hands. And yours, Judge Windham, thank you.
Sure. Let me, if I can, I would like to say a special happy birthday to somebody who has a birthday on Veterans Day.
And that
my
is?
My son, Patrick.
Very good. Very good. Veterans Day birthday.
He'll be 10.
All right. Oh, my gosh. You're a patient man. I've had 10-year-olds in the past. They're in the past now. They're older. But it gets rougher different ways. All right. Big thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.